I'd like to welcome everyone out to the service this morning, and we welcome back as our preacher today, the Reverend Raymond McLernan. Reverend McLernan is a retired minister in the Free Presbyterian Church. The evening service at the usual time of 7 p.m., preceded by a time of prayer from 6:30, and the preacher will again be the Reverend McLernan. Tomorrow, Monday night at 7 p.m., is the children's meeting. And on Thursday at 8 p.m., it's the Bible study and prayer meeting. And as the Reverend Leckie is on annual leave, the meeting will be taken by Mr. Jonathan Eccles, who is a final year student at the Whitfield College. Next Lord's Day, the morning service at 11:30 a.m. will be taken by the Reverend Kieran Salt from Ackerley Free Presbyterian Church. And the evening service will be taken by Mr. Samuel Fitton, who is a licentiate minister. And the singers at the evening service will be the Bowden sisters from Cookstown. Thursday, the 30th of November, is a deputation meeting for Let the Bible Speak, and Reverend Julian Patterson will be speaking at that meeting. And on the Lord's Day, the 3rd of December at 7 p.m., there's a special testimony meeting when the testimony will be given by Mrs. Vi Dawson. Clocker Valley Free Presbyterian Church have started a mission today. It goes from Sunday the 19th to Friday the 1st of December, with weeknights at 8 p.m., and the evangelists are Mr. Colin Maxwell and Mr. Noel Shields. And next Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. at Cookstown Church, there's a Youth Council Bible study, and that'll be taken by the Reverend Craig Dennison from the Trinitarian Bible Society, and his subject is, is it time for a newer Bible translation? And also next Saturday morning, there's a coffee morning and craft fair for Portadown Independent Christian School at Bethany Church, and it's at 10 a.m.
It is nice to be back with you in Six Mile Cross. I do thank your brother for his words of welcome, and I trust the Lord will come among us and bless our time together. We're going to commence by turning to the Psalms, the Psalm 46, page 42 of your hymn book. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength in straits, a present aid. We're standing together as we sing, singing the verses numbered 1 to 5. Standing together, please.
Oh,
Shall we bow together, please, in the attitude of prayer and seek the Lord's face for his blessing? And let's encourage each one. You pray that the Lord would come near, have a word in season for your soul. Pray that you might get a blessing from his word today. Let's talk to the Lord. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we bow in thy sacred presence, acknowledging that thou art God. Beside thee there is none else. We recognize, Lord, thou art the God of creation, the one who spoke this universe into existence. Thou art all-powerful. With thee there is nothing impossible. Thou art the God of our salvation. And how it rejoices our hearts today to think of all that thou hast done for these souls of ours. Here we are, Lord, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, undeserving of the least of thy mercies. Yet out of thy great love for us, it has pleased thee to give the best that heaven could afford, to purchase salvation for us, undeserving creatures as we are. But we thank thee, Lord, we, in spite of the awfulness of the age in which we live, we can echo the words of the psalmist and say, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Lord, we're living in a troubled world. We're living in a day when sin abounds in every hand. We've reached that stage, Lord, where good is seen as evil and evil is good. We lament the awful state that even this province of ours is in, a land that's been steeped in the gospel, blessed with gospel preaching down through the years, and yet today there's so little thought for the things of God, so little time. Man has chosen to shut God out, and then we wonder why there's chaos across the face of the earth. Oh, we mourn, Lord, the state that this world is in today. The enemy truly has come in like a flood, but the promise of thy word is that when that happens, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And we thank thee for the gospel standard that we can lift up today. We thank thee for him who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, no matter what happens in this scene of time, we thank thee that when we're focused upon Christ, when we have closed in with thine offer of mercy, when we have received him as Savior and Lord, it doesn't really matter what's happening around us. The child of God can say, it is well. It's well with my soul. We pray, Lord, that thou will draw near to us today. We thank thee for keeping this door open in this corner of the vineyard. We thank thee for the work of God here down through the years. And we come afresh to thee today, Lord. We simply ask of thee that thou wilt visit this house today with fresh blessing, with encouragement for our hearts. Oh, forbid that we should get down under the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Realize, Lord, there are difficulties in every hand. The devil is busier today than ever. But we thank thee that thou art still God. Our God is still on the throne. And thou hast said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we pray, Lord, for a fresh vision of thyself, for a fresh burden for the work here. We pray that thou wilt remember the congregation for good. Bless all who had gathered. Bless those, Lord, who would dearly love to be here, but perhaps through infirmity of the physical frame, they're unable to join us. But we pray that thou wilt meet with such. Encourage every waiting heart. Maybe some are facing battles or struggles that others don't know about. We pray, Lord, help each one just to cast their care upon the Lord. We have in Christ one who cares for us. We thank you that thou hast promised to supply all our need. And so we pray that thou wilt meet with us today the very need of our hearts. Whatever that need is, may we be conscious of thy presence. May thy word prove to be a blessing to our souls. Bless even in the singing of the songs of Zion. Lord, deliver us from going through the motions. But we pray even the words we sing will touch our hearts, that the reading of thy word will touch our hearts, and our meditation upon it, that we will get a fresh vision of thyself. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to visit in this congregation, lead this work forward, bless every child of God, lead us on to higher ground. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt work in the community. We recognize that every here and there, right across the board, the tide ebbs and flows. But we pray, Lord, that thou wilt cause the tide to come in. We think of the need amongst children in the community. And young people, there's so many distractions out there these days that would take young people away from the things of the Lord. But we pray that thou will come and demonstrate thy power. Take territory from the devil. Grant, Lord, that young people in these days would be exercised about seeking the Lord for their own lives, for their future, and for the future of the work here. Oh, we're glad, Lord, we're not asking something that's too difficult for thee. But we pray that thou will be pleased to come and minister in this community. Prosper the going forth of thy word. May every child of God be stirred up. Give us a fresh vision for those who are in danger of perishing all around us. And we pray that in these days, as thy word is proclaimed, even from this house, that there might be signs following. God's people will be encouraged and blessed and led on to higher ground. That those who know thee not might be exercised about seeking the Lord for full salvation. And we ask God in all these things that Christ himself would be glorified and that here thy kingdom would be extended. So come, do our souls good. Bless up and down the land today, wherever thy word is going forth. Encourage those, Lord, who are feeling the burden of the day. Remember those, Lord, who in recent days have lost loved ones. We pray for thy comfort to be their portion. Oh, that thou wilt encourage every believer in these times, and through whatever circumstances, draw others into that right relationship with thyself. So we commit our way to thee. We pray that thou wilt bless us, make us to be a blessing the one to the other. And grant that here thy name will be glorified, and thy kingdom extended. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's sing, please, from the hymn 467, 467. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. 467, we'll stand together as we sing, please.
We do.
And I invite you to turn, please, for our scripture reading to the book of Joshua in chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, reading a few verses from the opening verse. Verse 1, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. Verse 14. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain failed, even the salt sea failed, and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. May the Lord bless these verses to our hearts for his name's sake. We're going to wait upon you at this stage for your offering for God's work. And as that's taken up, could we turn again to the hymn book, please, in the number 481. 481, my faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. 481, will remain seated for the first part of the hymn as your offering is received.
Thank you.
Let's stand for the last verse, please. I invite you to turn, please, to that passage we were reading in Joshua 3. And with God's word open before us, let's just unite our hearts for a moment in prayer. Need the Lord's help, both to proclaim the word and to hear. And do pray that the Lord would have a word in season for your soul today. Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee that no matter what circumstances we may find ourselves in, Thou hast always a word in season for our souls. We thank Thee for our Bible. Thank You, Lord, for those who sacrificed even their lives to preserve this sacred volume. Thank You that Thy word is an unfailing word. And there's always a word in season for us, and we pray that that will be such even just now. We may be familiar with the passage, but we pray, Lord, that nevertheless we'll hear Thy speaking voice. Thou will encourage every heart. Lead us out after Thyself. Lord, renew our love for Thee. Reinvigorate us, we pray of Thee. Give us strength for the battles of the day. And we pray that as Thy people we'll know victory in our lives over sin, temptation, and the devil. Come, Lord, speak to our hearts now, we pray of Thee, and in and through us, glorify Thy Son. In Jesus' name, amen. We're all no doubt familiar with the travels of the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, following God's leading under Moses. And you will know that if Israel had been an obedient people, they could have moved from Egypt to Canaan in just 11 days. But because of their unbelief, they were sentenced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. This third chapter of Joshua brings us to that point. The 40 years have just now expired. Moses has been taken home to glory. Joshua takes over as the leader of God's people, and they are now poised to enter into and claim the inheritance in the land of promise. They, as I say, they're under a new leader now, Joshua. However, before they can enter Canaan, they must first get past one final major obstacle, the River Jordan. And normally, that wouldn't present much of a problem because the point where they were crossing, I understand the river is something about 100 feet wide and reasonably shallow. However, it seems that God always does things in such a way that no man can boast of having done them in his own strength. And this crossing would be no exception. See, God brought them to the river at a time at the time of harvest. You have that at the end of verse 15. Those who have been there during harvest time will tell us that the Jordan actually swells to an impassable width of about a mile. It overflows its banks, half a mile either side of the river. It's deep, it's fast flowing. That's 50 times wider than normal. And there was no way anybody with an ounce of wit would think to venture into the water, let alone get right across. And such a flood time, you can imagine the flow there would be. Those waters weren't waiting to come down. Now, we've seen floods in recent times, even in this province. And water is no mercy. It just comes in, washes everything in front of it, cars, buildings, trees, people. And in such circumstances as were here, the Israelites, well, they needed help, but they needed supernatural help. Only God could bring them through this. And incidentally, when we talk about entering Canaan, some people make the mistake of saying that Canaan is heaven. It's not. Canaan is that life that the believer enjoys on his way to heaven. That Canaan is the in-between. Anyway, it's true that we each have Jordans in our own life's experience. Situations arise in everyday life that really test our faith in God. And I'm sure you've been brought to wonder sometimes, will we go through this? I'm sure you've been there. Some situation arises and you think, why is this happening to me? Why is our family being brought to go through this particular circumstance? Will we make it through? When we look at the obstacles that stand before us, between us and spiritual victory, we may feel that, well, we're not able to enter our Canaan and enjoy the abundant life that God has promised to his followers. We know that the Lord has done it for others, but somehow when it comes our turn, our experience, we feel that our faith just won't allow us to see it as a possibility in our own personal case. All too often, you see, we tend to lean upon the arm of the flesh instead of casting our care upon the Lord. I know, I don't know all the obstacles that you may face in your own private life. Perhaps somebody here is standing today looking at a great flood tide of difficulty. Now, and you may be wondering, how on earth are we ever going to get through these troubled waters? Well, beloved, know this. God specializes in overcoming the overwhelming and in leading his people to victory. Let's really get into this account, this particular situation with Israel. See how they could pass their Jordan. I trust the Lord will have something of encouragement and hope to offer to you. You see, things worked out for them over 3,000 years ago. God did it. But he's the same God. And what he did 3,000 years ago, he can do today. He hasn't changed. He hasn't lost any of his ancient power. So let's learn from this chapter. Well, it's actually chapters 3 and 4, but how to get through your Jordan, how to claim your Canaan. The three steps here to be taken in order to guarantee that we will be able to get over that obstacle that blocks the way to enter your Canaan, your heaven-sent inheritance. Notice here, need to examine the message. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, it involved a challenge. Verses 3 and 4. When it came time for the people to move across the Jordan. I remember it's heavily flooded. It's a mile wide and very deep. God had a message that his people needed to hear. He challenged them to do three very important things. And these things were designed to help them follow the Lord's leading. Do keep in mind, God has brought them this way so that his purpose will be followed through. And what was his purpose? It was to give them an inheritance. God had a particular blessing for his people, just as he has for you. Always remember that he has your best interests at heart. I sent a brother coming in there this morning. It doesn't matter how big your congregation is. If there were only half a dozen of us, you're just as important to the Lord as a congregation of half a dozen thousand. God has you at heart. He's interested in you. There are no accidents with the Lord. Therefore, we must keep our eyes on him. Not only must they watch the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned here, mentioned some seven times, actually, in chapter 3. That Ark, you remember, was that special piece of tabernacle furniture that symbolized the presence and power of God among his people. And when the Ark was in the Holy of Holies, the glory of God rested upon it. It represented God's presence in the midst of his people. So when God moved, the people were to move. When God stopped, they were to stop. There's a valuable spiritual lesson in this passage for you and me. We would do well when we come to face times of crisis or when we need direction in life to learn to be sensitive to the movement of the Lord in and around us. It is a fact that God loves you and that he may show you what he's doing. He may not. He doesn't always show you the end at the beginning. Sometimes he takes you into a circumstance, a situation. You really don't know where the Lord's leading. But all you're asked to do is follow his leading. And you can be sure he'll get you through it. Sometimes he doesn't show why certain circumstances arise. And you just have to trust him. In John 13:7, the Savior said, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Not only had they to watch God and watch the ark, they had to follow the Lord's leading. When they saw the ark of the covenant move, they're told, right, leave your place. Go after it. Verse 3. Not only were they to watch the Lord, they were to move when he did. They were to pursue God. They must make every effort always to be in that place where the Lord wanted them to be. And again, the lesson for the believer is that it's not enough to know what God's doing. There comes a time when you may just have to leave your comfort zone and step out in faith and follow his leading, even if you don't know where he's taking you. Israel was about to follow the ark through a river that's over a mile wide. That wasn't going to be easy, but it was still necessary and right. Now, we maybe don't understand which way the Lord is leading, as we've been saying, but we do know why. His leading in your life is that he might be glorified. And there's nothing glorifies him like perfect obedience and trust. Following the Lord may not always be the easiest thing you do, but it will be the best thing for you. If you ever expect to get past your obstacles and enter into your Canaan, you've got to follow the leading of the Lord. Doesn't matter what the world says or what man would say. Get your leading from the Lord. If you have a decision to make, go to the book. Ask the Lord for clear direction, and you'll get it. Not only were they to follow the Lord, they were to honor God. Notice that the Israelites are told to stay at least 2,000 cubits behind the ark, verse 4. That's about 3/5 of a mile. Proverbs 3 has those well-known words, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Here's a simple instruction for them. Stay behind the ark. Keep that distance back from the... You see, the ark had to be treated with the utmost respect. They couldn't crowd around it. They had to give it space. It went ahead of them. They must never approach it in a loose or flippant manner. This wasn't just so that they could easily see what was happening ahead of them. The ark, the Lord wanted no one but the Levites near the ark. To get too close to it would mean death. And again, there's a lesson here for us. We must never be guilty of treating God like a common individual. There must always be that holy reverence and a fear for his name in our hearts. It's a great problem in some circles today. There's a spirit of familiarity abroad, and it cheapens one's walk with the Lord. Regardless of what we have to go through, God is still thrice holy and righteous. And what are we? The best we could ever hope to be is just a sinner saved only by grace. Got to give the Lord his place. Simply put, these things are most easily accomplished by learning to walk in the Spirit. That is, learning to give control of your life to the Spirit of God. Learning to follow as he leads through his word and prayer. It may not always be easy, but if you follow, it certainly will lead you through your Jordan. It involved a challenge. It also involved a command. Verse 5, the people were told to sanctify themselves. That is, they were to make sure they were as clean and holy as possible. They were to put away anything that was displeasing to the Lord, any bad attitude. They were to examine themselves and get ready for the Lord to come. He was coming to do something great among them. And it required preparation of heart and mind. If you and I are to get through our Jordan experiences that arise in our lives, we're going to have to learn that one of the first things we do is examine our own hearts and lives and make sure they're as clean as possible in God's sight. Very easy to become contaminated by this old world. Many of the things that happen in our lives that prevent us from walking in Christian victory are the results of our own sin and the Lord's chastisement. But there is mercy with the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We don't like the chastening. Sure we don't. But isn't it good for us? Look at what's happening amongst children today. School teachers are not allowed to chasten children. Parents are not allowed to chasten children. What's happening? We have a generation growing up who are totally reckless and wild and are just going to go clean daft in this world and get into all sorts of difficulty, problems, trouble. And people wonder what's going wrong. It's often said, I'm sure we've said it here before, the place to correct a man is not the electric chair, it's the high chair. And children, they talk about child abuse. The system that is supposed to be protecting our children is the very system that's abusing them by robbing them of the right to discipline. They need to be corrected. And so it's no wonder the world's in chaos. They've shunned this book. They don't want God's leading. Man wants to do that which is right in his own eyes. But that's another subject. Better it is that the Lord correct our mistakes than that he leave us to ourselves and we go on and plunder into shipwreck. This involved, furthermore, commitment. Verses 9 to 13, getting across the Jordan didn't rest on the shoulders of the Israelites. It rested on the Lord. It was his plan to get them over. Therefore, we say reverently, it was his problem. The Lord's problem. In these verses, he makes them a promise and tells them he will bring them through in powerful fashion. God here commits himself to bringing his people across their Jordan. All that was required is that Israel trust him, trust his leading. Beloved, things haven't changed one bit. If God could be trusted in those days to keep his promises, he can still be trusted today. Often we are unable to get past obstacles in our lives because we live a life that exhibits a deep lack of faith in the promises of God. How do we know? Because of the worry and doubt that marks the lives of so many of God's people. We worry over tomorrow. Yet the Lord has said in Matthew 6:34, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. When you think of it, today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Are you all right? Aren't we all right now? It's so easy to get down under. Let's live today for his glory. And we can only live one day at a time. We don't know about tomorrow. Scripture says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. But the Lord will take care of it when it comes. We worry over material things. The Lord says in Matthew 6:26, behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? We worry about facing problems, various things in life, yet the Lord has promised in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We worry over so many things. The Lord tells us all our worry is sin, and that our duty is to trust him. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. Be full of care for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And Philippians 4, 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The bottom line is this. The Lord Jesus is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. He knows what you're going through. He knows everything there is to know about it. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows more about it than you and I do. So what have you to do? What would he have to say to us? Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. Romans 14:23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Matthew 8:26. Why are ye faithful? Fearful, O ye of little faith. What he says to us is that he is Lord and that he is greater than any problem we'll ever have to face in this life. His desire is we simply learn to take him at his word and trust him. You need to remember what the Lord has promised to do, he will do. Romans 4:21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Need to hear that message. The second, we need to expect a miracle. There was a problem here. Verse 15, as we mentioned in the introduction, children of Israel are facing a major problem. The river has swollen to over a mile wide, and there's something like 2.5 million people to get across. And yet the Lord wants them to go over. They weren't going to build a bridge. They had neither the time nor the materials. There were no boats. And anyway, they would, even if they had small boats, they would have been like sitting ducks for their enemies. There's only one way around the problem, and that was through it. Have you ever sized up your problem and thought, now, how big is it? Maybe you've looked at it and concluded that there's no way around this, or through it, or past it. I suppose we've all been like the 10 spies that returned from spying out the land of Canaan. We've sized up the problem and think, well, this is more than we can ever face. Our problem is the same one we always have when we face a difficult situation. We forget who's in control. We forget about the Lord. And we lean on our own strength and wonder why things go wrong. When we see only our problems, God sees solutions. Where we look at things and say, there's no way, God looks at the problem and says, follow me. I am the way. I have a plan. There was a problem, but God can make a way where there is no way. There was a plan, verse 15 again. And the plan was this. God said, when the feet of the priests enter Jordan, I'm going to part the waters and lead you through on dry ground. I notice that the waters would not part until the priests who were carrying the ark actually stepped into the water. Their feet had to touch the water. In other words, this was a step of faith. To see the miracle come to pass, they must take that necessary step. God didn't part the waters until they took that first step and got their feet wet. But did he disappoint them? No, not so. What a lesson for us all. Too often we want the Lord to just fix everything in our lives for us. We just want him to do that thing and that'll be the end of it. However, most of the time, God requires us to take steps of faith in order that we might see our Jordan parted. God had a plan, but for the plan to work, it required faith on the part of his people. And the same is true for you and me. As long as we're trying to solve our own problems, we're not walking by faith. It is when we turn loose the reins of the problem, step away from it, and let the Lord have his way. That's when he will take care of that matter for his own glory. It is never about what we can do. It's always about what the Lord is able to do. Ephesians 3:20 reminds us, he is able to do far more, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. There was a problem, a plan. There was a performance, verses 16 and 17, when the priest did step into that raging river, it parted immediately, and God opened a path of dry ground through the waters for his people. And by the way, verse 16 says that the waters were backed up to the city of Adam. Do you know how far that is? It's the guts of 20 miles. Now picture yourself standing at the side of the river. And as soon as the priest's feet touch, it's overflowed way out over the land. As soon as their feet touched the river, the waters began to back up. Can you just picture it? And didn't just stop there and let those waters flow on. The water coming towards them didn't just stop. It backed up almost 20 miles upriver. That made a path well wide enough to get all those people across. The Lord doesn't do things in small measure. Sure he doesn't. It was more than adequate to get his people through. We need to remember that faith honors God. God honors faith. When God does something, it's not just something patched up, ready to fall apart again. It's done right, and it's done to last. Let's encourage you by reminding you that the God who did this great thing for Israel is the same God you serve and walk with today. What he did then, he can do now. He was able all the way through the Bible. He's still able. Regardless of the circumstances, he's still God, and he still can. Can God do something wonderful in 6 Mile Cross? Test, isn't it? Do you believe he can? Do you want him to do it? Would you ever think to ask him to do it? Is the Lord able to send revival into this corner of the vineyard? Is he able to fill out every empty seat? Of course he is. But do we expect him to do it? Would we think to ask him to do it? Or would we sort of glibly say, Lord, would you fill the seats and never expect anything to happen? And the Lord deliver us from unbelief. The question that plagued the Jews in Psalm 78:19 was, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? The answer is yes, God can. Just ask Noah, ask Moses, ask Daniel, ask the three Hebrews, ask that widow in Zarephath, ask the disciples in that little ship, ask Saul of Tarsus. Just look over your own life, beloved. How many times has the Lord opened your Jordan already? Isn't he all you've ever needed? He's still the same miracle-working God that he always has been. Oh, child of God, learn to expect great things from a great God. Because we're dealing with a great God. There's a message to examine and there's a miracle to be expected. Briefly in closing, we need to erect a memorial. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 24. When all the people had passed over Jordan, Joshua commanded one man from each of the 12 tribes to get a big stone out of the midst of the river and build a memorial on Canaan's side. That memorial is worth taking a look at. The purpose of it, verses 6 and 7 of that chapter, and again verses 21 to 24, these verses tell us that the purpose of the memorial was to remind successive generations of the power and faithfulness of God on behalf of his people. That memorial would be an important landmark to those who would come after. Succeeding generations, people would say, what was the meaning of these stones? This memorial built here beside the river. Incidentally, there was another memorial built in the centre of the river. But by the same token, we need some memorials in our lives as well. It's always good to remember the things the Lord has done for you. And you should tell others about them. It's good to be able to pass on to the next generation the lessons that God has taught you by the way. By remembering what the Lord has done for you in your yesterdays will tide you over when the trials of today and tomorrow arise in your life. Too many feel today in that they wonder why their children aren't interested in the things of God. And you know, if parents don't relate to their families, the great things the Lord has done for them, they're never going to be interested. And it behoves all parents to keep your children's enthusiasm alive. Tell them the great things the Lord has done for you and what he's able to do for them, and inspire in them an enthusiasm after the blessings of God. There's the purpose of the memorial, the picture of the memorial. Interesting to know that Joshua constructed two monuments, one on the bank of the river and the other one in the river. These serve two different purposes. There's a picture here of the faithfulness of God. The one on the bank of the Jordan, as we've been saying, was there to remind people of what the Lord had done and could do. It was a reminder of his faithfulness in the past. It was also a picture of the faith of the people. What about the pile of stones in the river? I mean, once they had all crossed and the waters returned, surely that pile of stones was going to be covered. Nobody would see it. Nobody, that is, but God. You see, when you face a time of trial, others are often guilty of misjudging your motives and actions. Only God knows the truth about your heart. Even though Israel couldn't see it, they knew the monument was there. They remembered that they had believed God then, and it had worked. And this really was a monument in their hearts. We need this same kind of monument as well. As we've said, too often we are misjudged by others in our times of trial, but God alone knows your heart. When you've trusted him and he has brought you through, never forget it. Build that monument, that memorial in your heart, where only God can see it and where you'll never forget it. Then when the tough times come again, and they will, look at the monument to his faithfulness and of your faith, and know that what he worked before, he will and can work again. God will bring you through your Jordan. Some of you may be facing troubled waters today. I don't know. We do know this. By following the Lord's leading, you'll get through it. Tell him about the Jordan you're facing. He knows anyway, but he likes to hear it from you. Tell him about it and allow him to get you through it. There is a place of victory where you can shout for joy in spite of your difficulties, your Jordan. The first step in getting there is dealing with that thing that's keeping you out of Jordan. It may be feelings of inhibition. It may be some secret sin. It may be some person or maybe some trial. Whatever it is, God is greater than that problem. Come and let him take care of it. And let him bring you through. As you follow the progress of these Israelites after they crossed the Jordan, you find that God brought them through more difficulties, like, for example, the taking of the city of Jericho. All they had to do there was follow the Lord's leading, and God gave them the city. It was of monumental proportion, but you know the story. It just fell flat before their eyes. And God allowed them the soul winner's joy in saving Rahab and her family. And if you follow on as he leads, you'll find as long as they walked in obedience to the Lord, he gave them victory after victory. The lesson's there for us all, beloved. Let go of self and let God bless you and make you to be a blessing. Let him lead you into Canaan, that place of blessing where you'll enjoy your walk with him. As we, as a nation, enter into uncharted territory under King Charles, let's keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's hold Charles up in prayer before God. Pray for his salvation first and foremost. And pray the Lord to give him wisdom, discernment, courage to do what's right in the sight of God. This land of ours could be on the verge of revival. We're standing at the edge of a Jordan. Think of the circumstances, the awful goings on in this land of ours. Some of the legislation that's on our statute books is deplorable today. We're seeing things happening today in this province that 10 years ago we wouldn't have dreamed of. And we're just wondering, you wonder how much lower can mankind sink? What are we facing? What lies ahead of us? Who knows? These are awful times. But if the Lord's bringing us this way, and he is, then let's trust him. Follow his leading. Keep your eyes on him. And let him lead you through. And who knows what victory the Lord has yet in store for his people in this province. Do you believe in revival? Would you like to see it? Is it possible? Is God able? Well, then let's pray for it. Pray for that grace to follow his leading. And may he lead us everyone into personal triumph and into national victory over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in all things, may his name be glorified. May the Lord encourage our hearts today, even through these thoughts. Let's turn in closing, please, to the hymn 557. When you feel weakest, dangers surround, subtle temptations, troubles abound, keep on believing. 557 will stand as we sing, please.
Now he seems broken, now he's
Our Father, we ask thee to take what's of thyself, write thy word upon all of our hearts. Lord, lead us everyone into lives of victory. We acknowledge we are beset on every hand with trials, difficulties, infirmities of one kind or another. We feel, Lord, we're no match for the circumstances we find ourselves in, but we thank thee that thou art God, thou art able to do far more exceeding abundantly before all that we can ask or think. Lead us, Lord, into lives of victory. Give us that grace to follow thee, even if we don't know where we're being led. And we pray that thou will bring us through, bring us to lives of victory over self, over the devil, over sin. And we pray, Lord, that such will be the evidence of thy power and thy working in our lives, that we'll be made to be blessings to others around us. In and through us, then, be thou glorified. Oh, we thank thee. We come to one who is able. And we pray that thou wilt lead us on with thyself. Encourage every child of God. Bless those, Lord, who are longing to see loved ones saved. We pray for encouragement by the way. Whatever our circumstances, whatever this week may hold for us, Lord, lead us through. We just ask that in and through us, that thy name would indeed be glorified and thy kingdom extended. Part us in thy fear and with thy favor, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.